There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
And away we go, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, live from the Mobile Public Library, Ben May Branch. And this is a first ever. I've done radio shows from a lot of places over the years, but this is the first place that's, well, number one, the library, number two, an educational place where I have done the show, and it's my friend Amber Guy Wiseman who brought us out here. Thanks for doing that.
We are so glad that you're here, and we're kind of having a little reunion of sorts.
That's right. So we've done, you and I have done a lot of radio over the years, and talking about different things going on in the library. That's what I'm out here today, to talk about the summer programs, summer reading programs. But it's not just for the kids. You were telling me you got all kind of events for the grown-ups as well.
Yeah, it's really, we are working to make it more of a family affair. So not only do we have special programs for kids all summer long, all throughout June and July, we have programs for adults. We are doing a special concert series this year called Tuesdays at Bernheim. And that's at 6:30 on, obviously, Tuesdays here at the Ben May Main Library in the wonderful Bernheim Hall. And if you haven't been here, say, within the last 10 years or so, you really need to come in and see it. When we did the renovation and expansion, we completely redid everything. And in the last couple of years, we've improved the acoustics even more, have a brand new sound system in. So you can come and really have a really nice concert experience for free. And next Tuesday, June 12th, Lisa Mills is going to be here. So
very
we're
popular,
super
very
excited about that.
Yeah, you know, and I was reintroduced for Bernheim Hall because doing things for my kids, come and do performances here and stuff. And really, acoustics are great, and it's a great place to check out. It's not just Lisa Mills. You go all through June, and you get in, you got several nights of, or several Tuesday nights of these live shows. And then the reading program for the kids, and I would just be frank. Number one, we want them to get an education, and you have some stats here on kids that don't read over the summer. But there's two things coming. We're educating our children at the same time. It's summertime, and they are underfoot.
Exactly.
Okay. I mean, just to be frank with you, they are underfoot.
Exactly. So not only do we have our special performers that come in and go to all of our locations, we have programs going on pretty much every single day at every single location, whether it's movies, arts and crafts, story times. So really, no matter what your kids are interested in, you can find something at one of our libraries for them. And the best place to see everything is our website, and our special summer site is slp.mobilepubliclibrary.org.
Now, you hand me a sheet here with five ways to head off the summer slide. What is a summer slide?
The summer slide is what happens when kids do not read during the summer. They basically lose a couple of months' worth of knowledge. So the next school year, the teacher has to spend time getting everyone caught back up and back at the same level. So according to studies, over time, this loss can create a gap of 2 to 5 years in their education. And
wow.
I know it's tempting to say, well, you know, they're on vacation, let's give them a break. Well, the great thing about reading is that it doesn't matter what you're reading, just as long as you're reading and engaging that part of your brain. So bring them to the library, just let them look through our, you know, if they don't really like story type books, let them check out our nonfiction. You know, we have books on everything. You know, you may find out the little girl you've been reading Prince's story to may want to read all about monster trucks or dinosaurs, you know.
Yeah.
So it's really, the library is a wonderful place where you can really let them explore and figure out what they're interested in and what they'd like to read.
Okay, so Amber, what you're saying is it's not that they're losing the facts that they learned at the end of the year, the who, what, when, where, or whatever from their No Alabama History,
right,
or whatever it is. It's the actual just mechanism of reading.
Yeah, and the comprehension and everything else. So, and that, you know, all of that goes in hand with so many of the subjects that they are learning in school. So,
okay, somebody wants, is listening to you right now, and they've heard, they said, okay, one, two, or all of those things apply,
right,
to us. We'd like to do that. You gave me the website. Is the website the first place to go? Is there a signing up? Do you have to sign up for X number? Can you come onesie, twosie? How does it work?
Yeah, it is completely flexible. The best way would be to come to the library and get your kid a library card, which all you have to do is just bring your driver's license and a current utility statement just so we can verify we've got your up-to-date address.
Right.
It's free. They can check out up to 50 items at a time.
Wow.
So you can really, really get them reading. And it's just really a really neat thing to do.
Well, this is good. And this is we're going to talk more about this coming up next hour. Plus, any kind of refresher courses for me on the Dewey Decimal System, can I come in?
You know,
I'd go there, right?
I am not an official librarian, and I still have problems with the Dewey Decimal System, so I will give you a pass. But our librarians and most of our library staff here can help you with
they
that.
They speak fluent Dewey Decimal
yes.
System?
Yes.
Very good. Amber Guy Wiseman, thanks for having us here.
No problem.
All right. We are live at the Mobile Public Library, and we will be here till 2 o'clock, and hopefully you come on by and visit with us. You'll see the FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Command Unit set up right here on the side of the library. And speaking of reading, we do that every week when we pick up a copy of Lanyap, and we check it out, and we don't have to bring it back. That's the thing.
Right. That's
yeah, you
right.
know, it's a
you can check out up to one at a time.
One at a time,
yes.
And we don't have to bring it back. But we're talking about the reading program here, and obviously with what you do for a living, you got to be able to sign on to keeping the kids reading, and you got a couple of those youngins as well.
I like literacy. I think it's
you
a
like
good
you're
thing.
Into,
yes.
literacy. It's
I'm
a
into
good
literacy.
Thing. You're a positive.
You know, we are our new office is right across the street here from the beautiful Ben May Library, and you know, I grew up in a small town.
Yeah,
we didn't have this is a big city library.
Yeah.
You know, I know you grew up in bigger cities, but I mean, when I come to this is a nice library. It's
yes.
beautiful.
And there's
walk in, and it is, you know, it's a gorgeous place to walk in. It's a wonderful place to visit.
And you got a nice thing is you've got the resources this summer to keep the kids busy. As we talk about literacy, let's go through some political literacy today in the aftermath of yesterday's primary. And let me see. I scored myself. Now, I might have been a little heavy-handed on the scale to benefit myself, but I'm scoring myself about 63% to 65% correct in my predictions. But if I lifted my thumb up a little bit, I may not have made 50% in my predictions.
Yeah.
A lot of things happened last night that really surprised me. Number one is no runoff in the GOP primary for governor.
Yeah, I thought, you know, you and I had talked actually at one point, I think last week, and I said I thought she'd get, you know, that KIV would be somewhere in the mid-40s to low-40s.
How'd that work out for us?
Did not work out well.
Yeah.
We I was
and once
dead
again,
wrong
when
on
I say
one.
For us, I mean, we're trying to give an accurate prediction for no other reason than give an accurate
prediction.
Well,
it makes us look smarter if we're right.
Right, and now we look really
now
stupid.
We look stupid, yeah, and we were stupid. Now we look stupid. But, I think that really surprised me. And I really like Bill Hightower, and I think he's a very bright man, but I was surprised he didn't get better numbers.
Yeah,
and that was one area where I thought that, you know, I figured he was going to be up in double digits.
Right. Well, let's look at some of those numbers. I think this is interesting, and we're going to go through this hour and love to hear from you on the text line or the phone line at 343-0106, 343-0106. Bill Hightower, obviously the local product, coming in fourth out of the people on the Republican side running for governor. But I want to point this out. So you look at the numbers less than double digits
right.
for Bill Hightower
right.
statewide. But if you break down the numbers, I've pulled them here from the Alabama Secretary of State, has posted up the numbers county by county in addition to the state numbers. Listen to this. So let's go, and this is Mobile County. Mobile County on the Republican GOP primary. So KIV, 58.03% of the vote. Bill Hightower, 28.29% of the vote. You can go look in Dalton, unless we've changed it. I still think we have yesterday. We did not change our online opinion poll question since yesterday. So you can see these numbers right here line up with what exactly we've been polling on our website here locally. It'll give, sometimes Bill Hightower had the lead, sometimes KIV had the lead, but it went 1-2 KIV, Bill Hightower. Same thing here for Mobile County. KIV 58%, Bill Hightower 28%, Tommy Battle 9% in Mobile County, and Scott Dawson at 4%. So you've flip-flopped three of those positions. So we come back from the break, we'll read some of the numbers out of Baldwin County, because while Bill Hightower had a real good showing for Mobile County, you would figure, well, it's the same neighborhood. Baldwin County be good. Not so much.
Yeah.
We'll give you those numbers. Continue our conversation with Rob Holbert from Lanyap. We are here live at the Ben May branch of the Mobile Public Library, Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, a segment of the show brought to you by Cottage Hill Package. What's up, Manis Brothers? The Manis family at Cottage Hill Package bringing you another great tasting event. This with Red Clay Brewing Company. They're coming from Opelika right here to the back lounge, corner of Hillcrest and Cottage Hill. Their halftime Hefeweizen, their 53 Kolsch style beer, also their Southern Renegade Southern style ESB, McKenzie Scotch style ale, and expect some surprises, they say, for this event happening at Cottage Hill Package. Also, they had so much fun at a few tastings while back with their adult spelling bee, which is always amusing to hear people have a sample or two of some beer and then try to spell. They're doing it again. Enjoy a drink of the excellent Red Clay Brews and try your hand at becoming an adult spelling bee champion. You can bring Dad out for a quality time as well, craft beer tasting, or when you're there, maybe check out some of those great cigars. Cottage Hill Package, corner Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, or find them online, cottagehillpackage.com, or just search for Cottage Hill Package on Facebook. All right, continue our conversation. We are here at the Mobile Public Library and talking about getting their summer reading events kicked off, and also talking about what happened yesterday in the rearview mirror with our buddy Rob Holbert from Lanyap. So we went ahead and took our hits there on the KIV runoff situation. Not even close.
Yeah, not even close.
No. So then you mentioned Bill Hightower. And I think this is interesting that Bill Hightower's number, he finishing fourth out of the Republican hopefuls statewide. But here in, we mentioned Mobile County, if y'all didn't see the breakdown, Mobile County, Bill Hightower getting 28.29% of the vote. Interesting to lay that against what Tommy Battle did in North Alabama.
Yeah.
Those were the places they both had to run up votes. It was contrary to, I wondered why Bill Hightower had spent time down here and why Tommy Battle had spent time up in Huntsville. I said, to me, logically, you would be in the other end of the state or somewhere where, you weren't as well known. But the political strategy was for both these campaigns to run up numbers there. Bill Hightower did a better job of it than Tommy Battle did a better job than Bill Hightower, but still neither of them doing enough.
Yeah, Hightower, we were fortunate to have most of these guys come in to the office and sit down and talk.
I had everybody but Ivy.
nobody can get Ivy. Yeah. But we had Maddox come in. We had Battle. We had Hightower. Bill is a very bright guy. I mean, he's kind of that phone-a-friend smart kind of guy. Yeah. But, he's and he really likes to talk about this stuff. So it was interesting to listen to him. I kind of wonder if some of that, some of it was a little bit above people's heads, I guess.
Politics is a game of emotion.
It's
a game of the heart as much as it is a game of the brain.
Yeah.
And even people that tell you it's a game of the brain, their heart's working through their brain,
right,
I think.
Right. It was surprising me to see him not do better. Even on the other end of the state, I thought he would do a little bit better than that.
Yeah, and I was going to point out, too, going in the break, so I have the numbers for the breakdown and percentage of votes for Bill Hightower in Baldwin County. Now, you look at Tommy Battle, his numbers carried not just there, right there at the Huntsville Metro, but he did good in adjacent counties, right? I mean, he was doing, because Huntsville, the big city for that entire region, same way Mobile is, the anchor city for our area. Well, Baldwin County, Bill Hightower, 17.8%.
Yeah.
A big, big drop-off from Mobile County to Baldwin County. And KIV, solid, 61.15%. Scott Dawson, this is Baldwin County, Scott Dawson, 5.98%, and Tommy Battle, 14.50%. I don't know what it tells us other than name brand ID and just not screwing up is what you need to be the governor of Alabama.
And it's easy to sit back and Monday morning quarterback. But, you know, had I been, if I were a candidate down from down here, I think I would have spent a tremendous amount of time talking about what Kay Ivey did not do while our BP money was being taken. You know, and I think I would have driven that home a lot and said, look, guys, you know, you need somebody who's going to take care of this area. And that's one of the reasons that we do get dumped on down here, is because we don't tend to think about the coast itself, you know, these two counties as a whole. You see the difference.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. There's a big, I mean, you would. If you're flying in here from somewhere else and you're a political strategist, you worked in Washington as well. And if you weren't from down here and I flew you in, you'd say, well, there's so many demographic similarities between these two places. They're both on the same bay. They're going to vote within a percentage point or two like the other one. That is not what happened here.
I think there's a tendency for Baldwin County and Mobile County to look at each other as being very different from one another.
And
often to think about, well, that's a Baldwin County candidate or that's a Mobile County candidate. And instead of thinking about, you know, this is a candidate who is from our area. And I'm not saying vote for somebody who's not qualified because they're from our area. But, I mean, when you're talking about things, you know, all things being equal or maybe even not equal, maybe you've got a better candidate. But to me, it was surprising to see a lack of support from Baldwin for him. Because it is meaningful to Mobile in this area, the Mobile area, to have somebody from our area in the governor's office, I think.
You know, you mentioned a second ago talking to Walt Maddox, who, of course, if y'all have not heard, Walt Maddox winning outright no runoff there either, the Democrat primary for governor. Listen to this. So let's compare once again Mobile County and Baldwin County, because we're studying this idea how different voting patterns are when you think they would be very similar. So Walt Maddox in Mobile County. In Mobile County, so Walt Maddox gets 37.93% of the vote. All right? Baldwin County, 43.26% of the vote.
That's
almost a 6% difference.
Yeah.
County to county.
That's,
and there are really only two viable Democrats, maybe three, but there were really two
Right. Yeah, I mean, that is surprising to me as well. You know, those numbers are surprising. You would think that...
I mean, Sue Bell Cobb did a lot better in Baldwin County by almost 6 percentage points, almost the same difference in Baldwin County than she did in Mobile County.
Yeah. I think that, you know, that was not a surprising race at all to me. That I just didn't think that Sue Bell had run a race that... I didn't hear anybody talking about Sue Bell Cobb.
I didn't hear, exactly.
You know, nobody was talking about
her. Okay, there's
anywhere,
one time, you know? Right, there was one time that Sue Bell Cobb got some press. And that's when somebody in her campaign,
it was bad press.
Right?
The only people I heard talking about Sue Bell Cobb were very left-wing people, very, you know, very on the far edge of that political spectrum. And they were big fans of Sue Bell. But for the people who were sort of moderate, it was all about Maddox, and so that was not a surprising thing.
Okay, well, you say that the people that are moderate Democrats going with Maddox, what about that? Because we've been told for a long time, you know, it's happened in lots of political cycles, it's not the first one, but people who in a primary will argue against their opponent in a primary based on the person they believe they will be facing in a general. And I heard it from many of the Republicans that said, just vote for me because we can't have Kay Ivey against Walt Maddox.
Right.
We'll lose this. It'll be another situation that, you know, Roy Moore versus Doug Jones, right? It's going to be that. So you've got to have me in, because if not, then Kay Ivey will lose.
Yeah, there's definitely an argument for that. And
well, I don't know. After last night, is there an argument? I mean, Kay Ivey mopped the floor with her competitors. No debate. Didn't have to do any of that.
Well,
and
I mean,
what about in a general?
It's 5 months away. I mean, if she's going to let Walt Maddox go out and speak to every media group in the state over and over again for 5 months, and she's going to have no response, and for 5 months she's just going to let him control what's going on, it's a strategy. I've seen that strategy lose a lot more than I've seen it win.
Right, but it did just win, right? I mean, they had months of the other three. The OTIs had 3 months of saying, KEIV's not debating, where are her medical records, we don't know about her sexuality, we don't know about this and that, right? They threw every cup of mud they had at her, and she just mopped the floor with them.
Sure, but But again, you know, it is a primary, and it's people are looking at it, and, you know, there's a bunch of guys out there, a bunch of people. We don't really know who they are. You know, I think when you get down to one-on-one, first of all, I think there's going to be a lot more media pressure for her to talk. I've heard you mention umpteen times now that you couldn't get her on your station.
That's right.
We've mentioned that we have not been able to talk to her either. You know, I think that fatigue from the media in terms of you're going to have to answer some policy questions along the lines. You can't just have, you know, commercials where you're shooting pistols and talking about Rocky Mountain oysters. It's not, that's not going to work. And I'm not trying to say I'm in favor of one. It may work. I mean, it could work. It could work.
We're looking at this pragmatically, right? We're looking at what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we don't know if that's the only reason why KIV had such easy success and Walt Maddox had success. No. I would go back to this, though, as we compare county to county. I think this, across the bay voting is still really interesting as you go further down, even beyond governor. Let's look at the lieutenant governor's race.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to walk you through the three for Baldwin County. Will Ainsworth, a Marshall County product, which, by the way, is going to be interesting. Steve Marshall and Will Ainsworth both out of Marshall County.
Yeah.
So they're going to get, it's going to be interesting, that turnout's going to be high come runoff time here. But Will Ainsworth in the lieutenant governor's race, 13% of the vote for Baldwin County. All right? Twinkle Kavanaugh, Baldwin County, 52.31%, which is some almost 20% higher than she gets in a state average.
Yeah.
Rusty Glover, 33.82%, which I think is interesting. Back to the Bill Hightower discussion. State Senator Rusty Glover. Baldwin County comes out very strong. Now, Mobile County is super strong for him, but strong. I mean, 33%. But 52% plus for Twinkle Kavanaugh. You go to Mobile County, Will Ainsworth does 6.94%, so half of what he does in Baldwin County. Twinkle Kavanaugh drops from the 52% in Baldwin County to 35%. Yeah. What's the difference in the Twinkle support between Baldwin County and Mobile County? And Rusty Glover in Mobile County shows what this is what you're supposed to do in your own backyard.
Yeah.
And that it's 57.99%. Right. That's what Rusty Glover does in his own backyard. Yeah. Almost, look at it, you know, a few points shy of 60% of the vote.
Yeah, he sucked up all the air in the room.
That's right.
Much.
So he did that, but Are you surprised, or do you have any idea for an explanation of a over 20, almost 20% difference between the votes for Twinkle and in Baldwin County and Mobile County?
I mean, all I can say is things that, you know, I think, but I mean, it still amazes me that people in Baldwin look at it and say Rusty Glover is not preferable to somebody who's from somewhere else when we have, once again, over and over, had the same issue of people complaining we're not getting our fair share.
Right.
But we continue to vote in a way that ensures that they're going to, whether we're not going to have somebody.
All right, we'll come back more of this discussion. And Dalton, check up with me during the break here. We'll get some calls on the air as well when we return. We are at the Mobile Public Library at the Ben May Branch. Come out and see us, and we'll be right back. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Back, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, live from the Mobile Public Library, Ben May Branch, right here on Government Street. Love you to come by and see us today, but also remember, all summer long, these programs are going on, and more information, Amber, on the website. What is the website? Where do we go?
It's mobilepubliclibrary.org.
Okay.
.org, so it's very, very easy to find us. Then you go to our summer library program page or our calendar to see all of the great things that are going on.
All right, and we'll talk more about those events for the parents and the children going on. All right, looking at some text here too. People asking about the lottery, and you know, if you were wondering if this lottery, or at least friendliness to a lottery, would give a Republican an advantage with some moderate voters out there, either people didn't think about it at all, or the answer is no.
Yeah,
because Tommy Battle was the lottery, and pro lottery is probably not the right word, but the open to a vote on the lottery.
Right.
And, then in the last couple of days, KIV came out and said the same thing. So you had Hightower and Dawson saying no to the lottery, and then you had Ivy and Battle saying yes. So if that was enough to push you across the finish line, Battle would have done better.
Yeah, the lottery thing, I think, is I think it's one of those issues that people at this point I mean, we're looking right now at the whole issue of, you know, sports gaming exploding around right here. So the lottery's going to seem like penny ante stuff pretty soon. Is, you know,
penny ante, great. That's,
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a little gambling metaphor.
Yeah,
there.
I got you there. Okay, seeing, okay, a question on this. What you were talking about, moderate voters. Somebody says, I usually vote Republican, but if KIV doesn't step up her game in November by telling us what her plans are for the state, she just might lose.
Let me say this.
Give me the case.
I talked to a Republican's Republican who said, you know, we tried to get Walt Maddox to switch parties.
Yeah. And you were telling us that.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, and so, you know, those are people who, I mean, and who said, hey.
But this is Alabama, you know, Rob. I'm sorry. I'm not going to sit here and live in some kind of.
If
a Democrat can switch. Right, because it, Lord knows, in Alabama, it happened with Democrats switching to Republicans. But social issues, those blue dog Democrats were lined up with Republicans.
Right.
I mean, can a Democrat in today's party, if they're in the party of Hillary Clinton today,
yeah,
can a Democrat then switch to be a Republican in the state of Alabama? I don't think it's social issue wise, they can't do it. Not in Alabama.
No.
They could do it in maybe Arizona. They could do it in Pennsylvania. They could do it in Indiana. But Alabama, really?
I think we are getting, in my opinion, Alabama is developing the Republican Party is developing a split between the social conservatives. I mean, everybody's got a split, but I think the split's bigger than it used to be.
In other words, the gulf between, or the percentages?
I think they're more even.
What's the breakdown?
Now. I don't know what the breakdown is, but it just seems to me that it is that at this point, you're going to get the social conservatives. Yes, you're going to get those people if you are running a socially conservative race based on social policies, on social stand and those things. But if you are talking about policies, there's a good percentage of people now who are interested in policy issue more than there have been in the past.
Well, okay, look at this, and let's talk about that breakdown, that difference. Tom Parker, right?
Right.
Republican,
right.
Ran for Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. He was on with me the other day. His ads had run a bunch here on the radio station, and it was all about his battle with the Southern Poverty Law Center. It was all about his battle, on social issues.
We've proven time and again we don't care about the justice races. I mean, we don't. Those things are just, they go down to those issues. I mean, they really get down to basically Second Amendment issues and abortion issues, and that really what they run. I mean, that's just, it seems to me that's where they run.
It seems to me, though, that it is frustrating on so many, let's say, maybe not judicial branch, but people for legislative that lead with those, and they're on the Republican ticket. And I go, you know, I've already. I guess that you've been vetted as a Republican, that you're not any threat to our guns here, but you're going to use that as the, you're going to talk about that all the time, and then we won't end up talking about how you're going to be a better administrator of X, Y, or Z.
You look in situations like this, you say, okay, well, then that must be the difference. So everybody, okay, if you strike the right social tone, then you're going to do well. Well, I mean, okay, let's look at Willie Gray. His advertising comes out and says, I mean, he's talking about his social issues, sanctuary cities, which we don't even have any in Alabama, those things like that.
Although Birmingham
it's like Marshall saying, I'm going to crack down on sanctuary cities.
Right.
Well,
it's done today.
I cracked down on all of them.
Tilting at windmills. Yeah.
And so, you know, you would say, okay, well, in Willie Gray's case, that approach, he came in second. You know, in that race. So it doesn't necessarily mean it. You know, if you look at some of those things, I mean, look at Baldwin County. God, there were so many things that went on over there that were just shocking last night. I mean, I told my guys last night, I was like, I texted them, I said, the story of the day may be that the entire, county commission is going to get flipped here.
Right. Well, okay.
And
so
it came real close.
I'm looking at text right here. People said this morning, I said, you know, what's that all about? You've got only one incumbent that survived. You have other incumbent
barely,
in a runoff.
And he's hanging on.
Right.
And they have
another incumbent in a runoff. You had non-contested and a loss.
Right.
And I asked this morning, and people said it's because of the 1 cent sales tax.
I'm sure the sales tax hurt. I'm sure that there's... you know, I think that's a big part of it. I think there's also things that go on in Baldwin County that people are a little tired of, just connections and business connections and things like that that have been issues. But I think that that sales tax obviously was a big deal to a lot of the people. I mean, Frank Burt getting kicked out after years, you know. I mean, that was not one anybody saw coming, I don't think. I mean, I didn't see it coming.
You know, I would worry.
I would have been surprised.
You know, to play the cliche game, baby out with the bathwater. Throw the bums out. Listen, I'm in the business of talking about throwing the bums out all the time. But there is a point. You want to leave a bum or two to help you know where the stapler is and who your contact is at so-and-so, and there's an emergency, who at FEMA you talk to. And I mean,
I was thinking about that last night.
What if they're all gone
and these guys are all brand new? That's going to be pretty wild. You know,
and people say, oh, that's good. That's what it should be. I understand at some level, but there's also the stuff behind the scenes that happens. It's not the stuff that makes Lanyap or doesn't make FM Talk 106.5, but it's what makes a county run, whether you're involved in County Mobile County.
There's still
a
lot of staff people who are there and know all that.
That know that things. Stuff.
Yeah,
that,
they know where all the bodies are buried, where to do, you know, what to do. So, I mean, I don't think it's a disaster if that happens. And I think in my perfect world, we would have term limits and they would stagger them out. We would get new people.
How about dealing with Montgomery, though? How about the same way we talk about our delegation that goes to Montgomery? In a way, so do members of county commissions, right?
Yeah,
Mobile County, Baldwin County.
Sure.
They've got to go up there and build relationships and work with people in Montgomery to get things done at home.
Yeah.
And so if you do replace everybody, if you think they're not doing any good, then yeah, you replace all of them. But if you do lose all those contacts.
You do, but you know, I mean, they want to have relationships with you as well. You know, so you have, everybody's got to just sort of like, you know, date a little faster. We've got to move a little faster. It's got, you know, get that relationship going a little quicker. You know, it doesn't have to be. You know, I need to have a 30-year relationship with these guys because
I agree.
Where it all goes. I mean, I think if you get...
It doesn't have to be 30 years. No, and Lord knows we have a third of the House and Senate turning over in Montgomery.
Right.
But I did have pointed out the other day, the leadership's not changing.
No.
So you get a bunch of new faces up there, and they're going to say, hey, new guys and gals, y'all line up. Here's how it's done.
But it is a... Definitely, it looks... I mean, it looks very likely they're going to have... A lot of, you know, certainly almost all of the commissioners are going to be new over there. And there's good likelihood anyway,
It's a heck of a story right there.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I was
very shocked. Can you imagine that for Mobile County?
I was very shocked to see Tucker Dorsey finish in second in that, in that race.
He's in a runoff.
And almost not being a runoff. I mean, she came close to knocking it out. And that's not a good place to be if you're going into a primary as an incumbent.
Right. Usually the incumbent's in a runoff, but the incumbent is leading.
Right. Yeah, that's not a great place to be. So, you know, that's interesting stuff, and it's going to be a really fascinating runoff here.
All right. Coming right back. More live from the Mobile Public Library. It is the Summer Reading Series kickoff here. We are at the Ben May Branch on Government Street, and I'd love for you to come by. And if you can't make it today, you got all summer long to come on out to the library.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile live from the Mobile Public Library. Hang it out, and I'd love to see you come on by today. We're talking about the summer reading program going on at the Mobile Public Library, getting started now, but going on through the summertime. Amber Guy Wiseman is in here, plus walking the huge distance across the street from the brand-new opulent Lanyap offices, my buddy Rob Holbert, which, by the way, talk to me about the new Lanyap.
Well, we've got a story on the charter school first year.
Yeah.
Year anniversary.
Yeah.
And a good story about what they've done and where they are with things. It's pretty interesting stuff.
Speaking of that, because this is something that I had a couple different people that were wanting to be elected here in November talk about in charter schools in our state. What is the policy right now? Are we still in a test phase? Can somebody apply for a charter school? How does it work?
I think they can apply. You know, I don't know that, Sean. I'm not going to – I will say I'm ignorant as far as whether it's in a test phase or not. But, I mean, we are the first one in the state.
Right.
I'm sure that if people want to get one going, they probably can get one going. I don't – think there's a situation where we're the only one that's allowed at this point.
Is there, with having a year now in this, is there a way to, are there benchmarks to in here that well, you say that, we started here and we went to
and
there?
And that's what the article talks about, you know, is that there's a lot of, you know, kind of gives the breakdown of what happened. You know, I had a couple hundred students out there where they finished their first year. Not as high as they would like to, but they also had some real successes and some really interesting, you know, I mean, some of their, some of the graduation people that came out and graduated who were just more or less lost before that.
Right.
And especially the young lady who finished up being their valedictorian was really an interesting story. I mean, she was somebody who just, she had gotten epilepsy, dropped out of school.
Oh, wow.
And ended up coming out, and now she's got a scholarship to Spring Hill.
Oh, wow, so what a great story.
It is a great story. And so that's, you know, I think there's some fascinating stuff with it to look at. And, you know, I know there's always a big push and pull about whether these are, whether it's a good idea or not.
Okay, but, so the people who say it isn't a good idea. See, I just where I sit, I go, well, if you can explore options and find out what works best, then great. But then I hear people line up against them. And I don't understand why you, is it just you're in a school system and you want to protect the number of students you have or revenue? I mean, why no?
I think it's a turf battle. I mean, honestly, I think it's mostly a turf battle. As they point out in here, it's like, you know, these aren't students we're taking from. These are students who weren't even in the system at this point. Most of them had just had quit. You know, a lot of these students weren't in the system.
Then who would have a beef with that?
I don't know. You know, there's always other side of the argument, of course. But, I mean, it seems to me a lot of these kids that have gone there were people who were not going to do well, or maybe had just left the system completely, and you know, this is an opportunity to get them back on track and to be productive. So, I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
That is in the new Lanyap when you pick it up.
This is it. This is, you know, it's lukewarm off the presses.
That's
we just
right.
got it
That's
just
right.
a couple hours ago.
He just walked it across the street to us, and people can, of course, pick up a copy in more than one location.
Yep, 1,300 of them.
That's my setup, right?
Yes, that's it. 1,300 locations, Mobile, Baldwin County. There's still nappy voting going on until the 10th.
Oh, yeah, I want to talk about that before we wrap up. I want to talk about some nappy voting. This is a question somebody was asking me. Well, I haven't heard y'all talk about 99.
99, yeah, that was an interesting one.
Yeah,
that was fascinating. I did.
And what we're explain to folks
and
what we're talking about.
And another one where I was completely dumb, and I really did not think. I mean, if you say there's nine candidates and you're not going to have a runoff.
You know, mathematically, mathematically, it seems like that is that's Doug Flutie in the Hail Mary pass.
Yeah,
I mean, that is that you have nine people vying in the Democrat primary for Buskey's seat.
Yeah.
And one person wins and doesn't just squeak it out, Rob.
Pounds
57%.
Spanked him, so to speak.
Spanked
Spanked Herman and the rest of them.
Yes.
Spanked him.
And then former mayor Sam Jones.
Yeah, he killed him. It was, you know, that was not something I would have expected. I figured that one definitely going to
just
run
by
off.
The nature of nine people in it. Yeah. You could.
Well, the guys at the bottom got I think 20 votes and 30 votes respectively.
And so their family
could have got a party bus and brought all the people that vote. Yeah, I mean it's so that was a very very unexpected turnout in my opinion. I mean it's I would have expected Sam to be the top vote getter, but not to win it all outright. No.
It was really surprising. Missed that. That was one of my big. I could see the red mark through my paper on that from the teacher.
That was not even close.
Okay, and we mentioned a little bit, and I think we'll probably talk a lot about this going forward over the next 6 weeks, and that is the Attorney General's race, the primary for the Republican side.
Yeah.
So the two top vote getters, which isn't saying much, but the ones that got the most, the current Attorney General and the two times past Attorney General Tory King, they will be in a runoff.
Yeah, that was a really tight race, and it tightened up more and more as the evening went on. You know, and so they, it's really you're voting either, you know, if you remember the Tory King days, and you know, but basically at the end he was under federal investigation.
I think people have forgotten a lot.
People forget a lot of it, but there was a lot of stuff that went on, a lot of real strange stuff that went on in you know his I mean I think all we remember is his crusade against sex toys, but
that's right,
but so you have that going on, and then you have with Marshall you have the touch of Bentley, you know, the whole he was right there in line with the Bentley and Luther Strange program, so they're both they both had some issues to deal with.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, you know, once again, just going back to my county versus county and seeing the differences there, the way people voted in the AG's race. And we can talk about this more coming up tomorrow. But the AG's race is interesting to me, too, because I've had both people that you just mentioned, either themselves, Troy King, or proxies for them, tell me, well, that's the one taking the gambling money.
Right, right.
That's
sure.
the one taking, and you know, right. you had, and not giving me a chance to ask the question, when you say gambling money, do you mean yeah. the Indian tribal lands? Do you mean outside, you know,
the Mississippi Indians or
the heirs to Milton McGregor on the outside? You know, right. who are you talking about? I didn't get that. I just get that. Oh, well, they're taking the gambling money.
Right, right. Because that was, you know, certainly with Troy King's previous administrations, the gambling money was a big issue.
Yeah.
Because who he was taking gambling money from and who he was involved with. And it was, and so I think that, you know, it's very, you don't hear that from the other races, though. It's the AG race. It's the AG race you hear all about. It's gambling money. Gambling money's flooding into the AG race.
Which is frustrating when people, you know, I hear a lot of people that call, listen to the station, say they're frustrated about people legislating from the bench.
Yeah.
Well, this is not from the bench, but this is deciding that laws will, it's not that they're going to be passed in the legislative branch and enforced by law enforcement. It's, hey, they'll pass some kind of thing, but the best place for us to get what we want is in the enforcement angle. And
right.
that's where we've been for over a decade here, is you have Alabama Supreme Court makes a judgment on what's gambling, not gambling, and then it just goes back to whatever's convenient.
Right, it gets enforced by whomever is in office. I would argue we have gone more than 10 years without having a real attorney general. You know, it's been a situation where, I mean, the attorney general's not doing a lot of the things that we would expect the attorney general to do in this state, white collar crime, political corruption.
You've talked about that.
Yeah,
you
we don't get that kind of stuff. It doesn't happen. I mean, it you know, if it's up in Montgomery, maybe, but you know, it's not coming down here very often. They're not getting into those things.
Well, if we had a casino, it might.
Well, yeah, but it's I mean, it is. I mean, I think the AG's office, to a large extent, has turned into the governor's waiting room. I think I'm going to be the governor. So, you know, I'm ready to be the governor. I'm going to go out and do some things signing amicus briefs for, you know, on things that make you look good.
Yes, amicus briefs with others, attorneys general. That's what happens.
Right.
All right, before we run out of time here, which we're about to do, remind folks, nappy voting, and I'm reminding y'all, we'd love your vote in the nappies, but Rob's going to tell you from an impartial perspective, how long do we have here?
Goes till the 10th. So midnight on the 10th. So this is it. It's getting short. Time is short.
Okay.
Had lots and lots of votes, but there's still time to help push your favorites over the edge.
Okay. So those votes are online. People can vote once a day.
They can vote once a day.
That's been
good. It's been a
little
change.
Have y'all broken the internet this year?
We have not broken the internet, but we've had a lot of votes. We've had still had a tremendous amount of votes, and
y'all, I'm not joking. They had broken the internet.
We had some trouble a couple times, but not as bad. You know, we were prepared this time.
All right,
people were ready.
Very good. Not a denial of service attack on the rest of the internet, and also just something to mull over. A question we asked this morning. Because we got in a discussion, Dalton and I did, about the I voted stickers.
Yes.
And I was lamenting that other parts of the state of Alabama had some fancier I voted stickers, but then Dalton said, well, what if they were scratch and sniff?
Yeah.
Give you a chance to answer this. If they were scratch and sniff, what would they smell like?
I think a Dewdrop cheeseburger.
All right.
That would be nice. That would be my vote.
There we go. That is Rob Holbert with Landyap, and we're coming right back. We're live at the Mobile Public Library. I'll talk more about the summer reading series coming up in just a second.